are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
So I think both of us have dealt with problematic metamors.
Problem metamors.
Yes.
What is a metamor?
That would be
expert.
My partner's partner.
My partner's partner. Yeah. But that you're
that
not,
I'm not involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not doing it.
That would be my partner.
But yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe
whatever
it's like guest
it.
Star, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So metamor would be your partner's partner.
Uh-huh.
And I happen to have a wonderful metamor right now.
Yes.
I love her. She's terrific.
I love her.
Everybody loves her. It's great. And like, I'm so glad everybody else loves her because I love her to death. I think she's great. She's very blunt. And she is a gigantic cat that's fluffy,
yes.
And she's a terrific cook, so she feeds White Nerd whenever I'm not cooking or just saying, eat something.
Which we've discussed your culinary skills before.
I can make it happen if I have to.
Yeah. You make some amazing stuff.
It is amazing. It's awesome in every sense of the word. Hello,
Jackie. I know, it was like the dogs clomping around.
If you hear a little click, 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 that's Mr. Chappie.
Yes.
But I have had an experience. Luckily, I have only had one like nightmare metamor ever in our relationship.
All right.
And this was several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a jealous sort. She was very immature. We were both in our 20s. And she was very young too. I don't even remember her name. Like little blonde girl is
that
all I remember
girl.
To call her. That little blonde girl that she was telling him like what a bitch I am and how horrible I am.
Oh, the talking behind the back thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, your partner doesn't treat you well, and
yeah.
I treat you well. And
that was basically her whole gig. And then it even evolved into her sending him emails saying that he should leave me.
Wow.
And this was during kind of, I won't say a rough patch between us, but when we were definitely learning more about each other emotionally. And at the end of that, there was a breakthrough of like, I knew that she was saying things and I was always getting the look, like the stink eye.
Mm-hmm.
I only met her a few times, like a couple times we ran into each other by accident when they were together. But this was one of the first times I'd met somebody he was dating, and she was just, wow, she was an asshole. It's a total asshole.
Mm-hmm.
To go so far as to be writing somebody emails to say leave her, and then in the end, like it was resolved when I was just, I hate to say it, but I did exercise some veto power,
mm-hmm.
mostly. And it's like, what the F, man? What is she telling you? And he showed me all the emails, and it was like this huge breakthrough in intimacy for us.
Yay!
Positive
fallout.
I know. Yay! Happy moment. But I have not been in the situation where I'm dating somebody and they have a person who's my metamor, like outside of my, like I guess you'd call it a primary, my longest term relationship,
right.
Where they've made it difficult for us to date. I'm so thankful for that.
Right. So I had a very similar situation to yours, with somebody, you know, who I had a lot of like significant history with, and he was seeing this new woman, and she started sticking her nose into everything, and it got really uncomfortable. And you know, she was the one that was texting all the time when we were together, and all of that. And it was like, you know, we have to talk about our relationship right now. So you need to end your time with her. Yeah.
Okay.
And
that is even worse. I don't know which is worse. Them saying like, she's horrible. Or like the other person talking right. to them about like, oh, how horrible I am. Or the changing of the rules.
Uh-huh. Like, oh, yeah.
Like the changing of the boundaries that's unpredictable.
Right. And that was how she functioned primarily. It was, you know, I want to be your primary. You know, and I get it. You know, it wasn't that I had a problem necessarily with her being, you know, the more significant partner. That's fine.
Yeah.
I had no problem with that.
Okay. Yeah, I know who you were seeing, and I know of this incident, and it was, you guys were definitely in a stage where, you know, you did an off and on thing, but if either one of you found something more serious, that's cool.
Right. Like, we would hang out together, we would do things, you know. I mean, it was very much a romantic, I guess, relationship. Romantic, intimate, really, I don't know, whatever.
It was a thing, sort of. It was thing-ish.
But it seems like every woman that he was interested in or that he dated always had a problem with me because of the history. Mm-hmm. And they didn't feel that they were significant enough. I'm like, no, like, this is casual. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, you can spend, like, the majority of your time with this other woman, and I have no problem with this.
Yeah.
As long as I get a little bit, I'm good.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is it worse that they would see me as a bad person, or that they would just try and put their territorial stamp on someone, like, corralling them, it's been called, because... Oh, wait, I did have another nightmare one.
Oh.
That's right. Because there was somebody that Fuckface was seeing that was doing the corralling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And Fuckface the ex. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of how things were going really badly, and there were secrets and everything. But also, it was her behavior of... literally corralling him off into a separate room when a bunch of people were together, or being like super clingy and hanging all over him like a cheap suit, just like putting those territorial stamps on, that really invaded my space. Mm-hmm. And then trying to kind of change up, oh, here's what really happened, or here's where our boundaries are. And I'm just like, okay, that's completely different than the boundaries that had been discussed.
Right, right. I have an interesting question.
Yeah.
So, would you agree with the statement, if you cannot be in the same room as your metamour, it's problematic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would, because if I'm smelling batshit crazy on them, like, I know that ultimately that this is expiration dating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's fine and all, as long as they don't invade on my time with the person, whether it be they're texting constantly or changing up the rules.
Right.
Or also invading emotionally. Like, the person comes to me stressed out.
Right.
About their shit with the other person. Yes. And they can't enjoy their time with me. And I can't enjoy my time with them. Because their brain.
Bleeding into.
Yeah.
Your relationship. Yes.
And I think that is one that people don't think about as much. Like, they think about the person who's being jealous or being territorial or being like the, that kind of batshit. Mm-hmm. They do think about the person who's changing the rules. I know somebody who has recently stopped seeing someone because this would have been like total, I think they're at third strike, you're out kind of basis with this person. Because the metamour kept changing up the situation. And each time that it would reach a comfortable level, then it was sort of bracing for impact all the time. And I don't think you should have that sort of tentativeness in a relationship. Even if you're just dating somebody even more casually, you should never have like other shoe syndrome where you're waiting for some fucking crazy bomb to go off from their other person.
Right.
But yeah, there's this really insidious way that people infect your relationship with a person where every time that they come to you, they're stressed out from dealing with that person. Mm-hmm. And you can always tell when what's been going on in that other relationship, even if they never say a word.
Right, right. A lot of times, yeah, we wear it on our face and we bring it in. Mm-hmm. It's like, now I'm angry and maybe irritable and lashing out at you because of something that's going on over here.
Yeah, I'm not listening.
Or right. Or
I don't hear any of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Everything you say gets taken the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I think the most annoying one to me. Mm-hmm. It's even worse than changing the rules because there's that unpredictability and the surprise and everything of changing the rules when they drop the batshit crazy bomb on you.
And I get kind of changing the rules as well as relationships develop and you have, you know.
There's changing the rules and then there's like changing the rules midstream. Like, we can't see each other on these days. But then, they have a date on that day, so they want to change and make sure we can see other people on those days. Mm-hmm. Or saying, you guys do a sleepover or whatever, and then they freak out. Now, I understand that maybe the first time it happens, somebody might have some issues and check in with you, and maybe you need to go home, or maybe you need to leave where you are and be with that person and deal with, like, where you guys are emotionally with each other.
Right.
Go to the person who has the most emotional need at the time. Mm-hmm. But if they're always the person with the most emotional need,
that's a red flag.
That is a daisy chain of, like, not emotional labor. That's like emotional slavery almost.
Right, right.
Where your relationship is beholden to the whim of their mood.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like I said, changing the rules is not problematic if the rules are agreed upon by everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of like leaving some of those boundaries a little more malleable. Yeah, it's fine. You just, not only are they all agreed on by everybody, but are you just going to like pop up at, 10 p.m. and say, oh, I've changed that.
Right.
What the fuck?
Right. I said it was cool for you to have a sleepover, but here it is, 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm freaking out.
Yeah. You can't see this person on those days because we have a standing date. Oh, I have a date on that day. Or, or you can talk to them about this or this, but you can't have any emotions involved.
Right. Right.
Yes.
You can talk to them about these certain aspects about me and our relationship, but also I want to hear about like everything about your relationship.
Yeah. You can have sex with them as long as you don't have feelings for them.
Yep.
Yeah. So many of these things that it makes it where you just don't even, no matter how much you like the person you're seeing, it's just too stressful for you. Mm-hmm. It is too stressful for me in those situations.
Right.
And in the second one that I described, the first one was painful because I knew that we needed to either split up or stay together and then decide which way the intimacy was going with us. Mm-hmm. The second one it was so disingenuous what was happening. And I really felt like I was being made to be the villain in the scenario simply because I kept asking questions and I kept trying to communicate and I wasn't getting that reciprocated.
Right.
Like, I don't think I have to be best friends with whoever somebody is seeing.
Does it help? Yes.
Yeah. It helps if you're at least friendly. Mm-hmm. If you can at least have something that you're relatable with on the person.
Yeah.
And like some of those, I do like when your person started talking about orange flags or red flags in disguise. I've definitely kept that in my brain.
Yay!
It's like orange.
He is good for something.
Yeah, I'll orange flag. What do you call them? Red flags, but you're seeing their potential. Who you wish they would be. Yeah.
I don't know.
This might be a thing, but they seem like they're so blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If only this, if only that weren't that way, everything would be. It wouldn't be a red flag. That is definitely an orange flag, if only.
Yeah. So I have a really interesting situation in that I'm a little more like relationship anarchy And that I can escalate and de-escalate my relationships as I see fit, yeah, essentially. So I have a lot of friends who are exes.
Same.
So in a way, like, it's kind of a meta situation. And right. So, like, I get kind of a little hesitant about introducing exes to a new partner or whatever.
Or realizing that two people that you've been fucking are sitting around having a drink together at a bar, and you have to go to the bathroom, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta pee, but I'm not sure if I wanna get up.
Right. So, like, we're about to have a party, and I'm like, I know at some point during the party, I'm gonna look around and be like, I've had all the dicks.
Yes. I have been in that situation before, sitting at a table playing chess with a bunch of people, too. And I was like, I've slept with a bunch of fucking chess nerds, haven't I? It was like, 1, 2, 3. Oh, Jesus. Everybody just play the game and stay quiet. Well, this is not social hour.
But I think it's also important because they are friends of mine. And we are good friends, you know, that they do have a relationship.
And some of them are friends with each other now.
Yes. It's so interesting.
We went out last weekend and they bonded. True story.
So actually the ex that I was talking about who had, you know, the other partner who was is actually has befriended my current partner, and they get along way too well.
I can see it for
way,
sure.
Way too well. I am not.
Where you're like walking away now.
Right. I did. Like they were both here last night. Like, yeah, I was like, I have to leave.
I gotta go.
Y'all just bro out. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I love it. And at first you're kind of like annoyed by it, but it's also like, oh, thank goodness.
Okay. Right.
Because then you don't have the issue of the intimidation, the insecurity, the jealousy, all that.
Right.
So initially, I guess we maybe thought the question was, how do you deal with the situation? I think mine is just coming back to walk away.
I don't do drama.
Yeah. I mean, if they're just a little, like, if they're garden variety crazy, like, I can deal. But it's arm's length with elbow locked, for sure. It's ultra casual with that person.
Right.
In order for me to bend the elbow and let them in a little closer, yeah, there can't be any drama whatsoever.
Yeah.
And if there's some crazy going on, like if there's something between them that's gone batshit, oh yeah, it's not even elbow locked. It's waving, bye-bye. Get back to me when your shit is settled and we'll talk again.
Right.
Because no matter how much I really am into a person, I think I am beyond the point where NRE can combat relationship stress. Like, the two are at odds with each other at times, and I think, but I don't need a fixer-upper.
Right.
This is not this old house.
Right. Exactly. I want to move in ready.
Yeah. This is not this old bullshit. I will take, some things as is, and so I'll take some scratch and dent IKEA shit going on.
Right.
I could buy a new pillow for that relationship. But yeah.
I think sometimes it takes a long time for people to show that crazy, though.
Why can't they just be crazy right off the bat?
Right.
I don't want to get invested.
I have all this drama, but I'm not going to bring it to the table just yet.
I think I can bring out crazy in people pretty quickly. And also, it does take me a bit to get invested in a person.
Oh, sure.
I tend to be elbow locked for quite a while longer than most people and a little more detached.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. See, I can play the game of romance.
Because
I want somebody who can be my friend and like go out and be salty with me and stuff, and we can be romantic and hold hands and like kiss and stuff, and the game of the romance and the illusion of it, but the actual intimacy, like, I don't know, emotionally frugal.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get truly, truly invested until I get the lay of the land.
Right. Putting yourself completely out there. And so, like, vulnerability, while it is a show of strength, being ultra vulnerable right off the bat.
Oh my gosh. Is
a horrible idea.
That's like waving your vagina into your, like, around going, woo, break my heart.
Let me worry about my life and everything.
I can't tell you all the things. People don't need my bullshit either. As much as I don't need theirs, they don't need my bullshit.
Right.
Like, I got some bullshit.
And, you know, I actually love that about Chris, because when we met and, you know, I was like, well, what do you want to know about me? He's like, I'll figure it out. And I was like,
well,
that is awesome.
I know. Like, it is nice. Like, AG and I kind of, like, skipped to the middle where it wasn't even supposed to be a date or anything. We just talked about completely other shit so that I could store those little nuggets later and go, okay, you know, and actually get to know what the person was instead of it being this sort of fabrication of of closeness. And it was way more fun that way.
Yeah. Because honestly, going through it like dating apps, of course, you get all those questions like right off the bat before you even meet somebody of like, tell me about your family. How many siblings do you have? Do you have any kids? Blah blah blah.
Yeah, and so if it's somebody who's got another person attached to them, it's like in dealing with their schedule and everything. I'm too lazy. I'm just so lazy.
Right.
So it might be why I go out with single people a lot.
I get it. I totally get it.
It's
easier because there's less responsibility. I know. They don't have other attachments.
I'm a lazy expiration dater. That's...
Yeah.
It gets a small.
Started the snorting.
I'm so hungry.
Well, go eat. Let's go eat.
Comments, questions, knock knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.